Good evening, everybody. I'd like to welcome you to the Sorrento School District Board of Education meeting on Wednesday, May 7th, 2025. We will begin with the Pledge of Allegiance led by Leah Alfrey. Thank you, Leah. We will begin with changes to the agenda. Ms. Judy, do we have any?
We do not.
Great. And then we will start with the superintendent's report.
Okay, we have new mics. Can you hear me? Awesome. Great. Okay. So this week is the last and culminating week of appreciations across the entire school year, and we finish off with Teacher Appreciation Week. We were able to get a few nice things for the teachers and all of the staff, because of course we celebrate them throughout the year, and then we end with this Teacher Appreciation Week. And today, in fact, is School Nurse Appreciation Day. So of course we want to send our thanks to everyone. It takes every single one of our staff members to make our schools the great places they are. We have a ton of year-end events that I've already gone to many with Mrs. Cook, and there are lots more to attend. Concerts, plays, teacher signing day. We went yesterday to the Old State House on the Green, and the Teacher Academy students going to Delaware universities and colleges were there to sign, stating their intention to become teachers, which is always a great thing. Decision day at the high school took place last week, and I know Mrs. Cook was excited to see where everybody is going and had some donuts and good things going on there. And then, of course, we had prom, which is just an amazing day. It's incredible what the junior class is able to do for each other, for the senior and junior class. The class sponsors and students do such a wonderful job. They pay for the event themselves, and they manage it solely through each other and the work that they do. So it's a wonderful event, and Mrs. Cook and I and the class sponsors were able to be there, and it went off really well. I was able to attend the Public Education Finance Committee Task Force, which is Senator Sturgeon is leading the way on looking at how we fund public education in Delaware. I was able to join remotely with many other superintendents and then just people in the community that are interested in how we fund public education and where we need the most support. So that's been an interesting event to watch and be a part of. It is a priority of the governor and the new Secretary of Education to streamline our funding process, which we will greatly appreciate. All right, so now we're gonna take a step into the audience. I'm gonna get over here to this podium, and I'm gonna give the team a leadership update as to where we are as a district. We've done a whole lot of work all winter long, and I wanna share that with the community. And unfortunately, the screen comes right here, so we're going to have to
move. Vogt, who is joining the team at district office as the assistant superintendent, which as she is playing a dual role at this time at the high school because, of course, she wants to see this class graduate. And then we're going to be celebrating. We're going to be celebrating the retirement of Mrs. we're celebrating her retirement after 29 years in public education. That deserves a round of applause. We'll have some time to celebrate her as a team later on this year. All right. So, in her place at the Health of Curriculum, the curriculum office, we have Dr. Amber Bustis joining us, and she is currently the principal at North Smyrna Elementary, and she will be joining us this summer at curriculum in the Office of Curriculum Instruction. All right, and then we have Dr. Kate Marble, who has been in the Office of Curriculum Instruction for a few years now. She is going to be moving, not a new position, but a position new transfer into the Human Resources Department under Workforce Development. So that's Dr. Kate Marble, and she's already been working, and I will share some of that great information with you at the end of this presentation. She's already been working with that team, and we've seen a lot of success. I firmly believe that, you know, if we're gonna accomplish anything in this district, we have to have dedicated, certified teachers and professionals in our classrooms. We're putting a lot of emphasis on that foundation because without it, no matter how strong the structure, it will fail. So we are doing that as a district, and I will share with you the good things we've already done. All right, Miss Cindy McNabb, she too. Those people will be up for your approval this evening.
That being said, we have also been blessed with an opportunity that I have high hopes for. And we are in partnership now with the University of Wilmington University and the Department of Labor in a teacher apprenticeship program. Ashley Nash was on a call with Laura Crowley, Dr. Laura Crowley from MU. We got on the email as quick as possible. We all called our principals and said, what paraprofessionals do you have that want to be teachers? And we got a long list. And we are excited to say that starting this summer, I believe, maybe in the fall, we will have 10 paraprofessionals receive a free education to become a teacher. And in so, they can either achieve a bachelor's degree or a master's degree, dependent upon whatever level of education they are currently on. And in addition, that partnership will lead to additional paraprofessionals being able to take advantage of that same opportunity this fall. So thank you, Ashley, thank you to Denise's team, Kate, Rachel, Lisette, Dre, and Katrina for doing the work to get our classrooms filled so that each person, each student has the best education possible in this school. I really appreciate that, and you deserve all of that. So.
Brings us to the student board member report for this evening. Patrick.
So, from SGA, Student Government Association, five seniors from Swarm High School attended the junior achievement of Delaware's ages 18 through 25 program on April 30th to learn about what employment after high school they can receive and register for a Delaware job account. Students who attended receive $100 each as an incentive. Over 325 juniors attended the modified schedule set by Little Smyrna High on May 1st, talking about the opportunities available to them during their senior year, religious dual enrollment, internships, early releasing career experience. Senior counselor is a student and key specialist in video coordinated at meeting. We had eight students that are part of the Smyrna Educators Rivals TSO, and they were recognized on May 6th at the Delaware Department of Education's National Day of Signing. The day recognizes students who intend to pursue a post-secondary degree in education or directly enter the field of education. Students include Noah Williams, Preston Chesler, Cheyenne Pennington, Jada Butcher, Destiny Wood Wheeler, Layla Rivera, Aisha James, and Tennessee Miller, parents, teachers, administrators, legislators, and post-secondary representatives were in attendance. The Smart School District was represented by Superintendent Ms. Judy, CTE Director Dr. Marvel, and CTE Specialist Ms. Almondo and Mr. Davis. From EPA, EPA is currently competing at their national competition in Orlando. We wish them all success and best of luck. From NHS, National Honor Society, they will be holding their biannual campus cleanup tomorrow and will be hosting a canned food drive in the spring service project. Any support for this project is greatly appreciated as local food pantries and other accounts. From athletics, Smyrna High has three spring sports teams who will be admitted to their respective tournaments in our boys and girls lacrosse team and our softball team. Best of luck to them in their postseason endeavors. From the performing arts, a huge congratulations to our choir band. Thank you to all who came out to see that and support our students' efforts. From the art department, junior Salem Diaz has nearly completed her mural at Rebel Chase at Smart Elementary. We are incredibly proud of her for taking this project on herself and her dedication to her craft. And lastly, from FFA, the FFA collected 2,327 non-perishable food items for St. Peter's Food Pantry at their annual Lunch Cup for Hunger event. They also collected $169 at their Chick-fil-A Spirit Night. This money will also go towards the food pantry. They would like to thank everyone that helped the planning and execution of the event and all of their donors. Their annual banquet will be held a week from today, May 14th, and is open to the public. All are welcome to attend. That is it.
Thank you. Are there any other questions or comments for any of the reports we received? Then we will move on to special recognition, and that will be the teachers, the building teachers of the board. Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Patrick, we're going to recognize our student board member this evening for the service he's provided us over the last year.
Thank you, Patrick, for everything you've done for us this year, and we just look forward to all the good things you do in the future.
Thank you.
Westmore in the middle school. I'm sorry, John Westmore in the media school. Sorry, Amanda. Amanda Holland.
Why was that? Well, perhaps because all of us are seeing the same rising costs. Delaware is already one of the top spending, yet lowest performing states with student test scores. We've all heard that Delaware ranks 45th in the nation in education outcomes. 45th, that's a disgrace. Why do you think throwing more money at this would fix the problem? The issues are obviously more than just money. But on the subject of money, maybe you need to root out fraud, waste, and abuse in the school district, just like those who do in the federal level. Also, how about obeying executive orders from President Trump to get rid of DEI in the school district? Why did you risk losing the 12% or whatever it is of student funding that comes from the federal government? Why are you teaching students that have already disobeyed the law? I saw on the school district website that there is a DEI coalition with multiple committees and 13 names on the DEI leadership team. How about that those people spend more time teaching ABCs and 1-2-3s rather than DEI? To quote Charlotte Middleton, who is running for school board in next week's election, students need to learn to read so that they can read to learn. According to the nation's corporate, 75% of fourth graders in Delaware are not proficient in reading. 75%. That's a disgrace, and that is for being one of the top states in spending per child for education. Clearly, more money will not fix the problem. You need to do better and do it without more money, just like we all have to do at home. You need to focus your efforts on bolstering the students' basic educational skills of reading and math rather than on social engineering. Thank you for listening to me.
Moving on to item 9, new business, the approval of the board minutes from the April 16th, 25.
Madam President, I move to approve item 9.1, board minutes from April 16th, 25, as submitted.
Second.
The motion by Mr. Skuse is second by Mr. Snow to approve the board minutes as submitted. Any questions or comments? Hearing none, how do you vote, Mr. Skuse?
Aye.
Mr. Snow?
Aye.
Dr. Wilson?
Aye.
Ms. Weber?
Aye.
Chair votes aye. Motion carries. Approval of the monthly financial reports.
Madam President, I move we accept item 9.2 as submitted.
Second.
Motion by Mr. Snow, a second by Ms. Weber to accept item 9.2 as submitted. Any questions or comments? Hearing none, how do you vote, Mr. Skuse?
Aye.
Mr. Snow?
Aye.
Dr. Wilson?
Aye.
Ms. Weber?
Aye.
Chair votes aye. Motion carries. 9.3, school choice for the 2025-2026 school year.
Madam President, I move to approve item 9.3, school choice 2025-2026 school year as submitted.
Second.
With a motion by Mr. Skuse, second by Dr. Wilson to approve school choice for the 2025-2026 school year as submitted. Any questions or comments? Hearing none, how do you vote, Mr. Skuse?
Aye.
Mr. Snow?
Aye.
Dr. Wilson?
Aye.
Ms. Weber?
Aye.
Chair votes aye. Motion carries. Moving on to board policies, we have none for discussion or voting this evening, so we will move to item 11, discussion. We're going to begin with the construction update.
Get into that in a little further detail. As I say in a almost every month. As you drive past North Smyrna Edition, it's really cool to see it come together. It's really starting to look like something. All the ABV air vapor barrier membrane sprayed on there. Really completed the school. And you start to see tent windows. It's really starting to look like a facility. Quisenberry, ADQ, they've been constructing temp windows and wall panels to try to get dry in. In spring, lots of rain, drywall insulation is ongoing to get ready to start. So keeping that dry and ready for materials is very critical, and it's a critical path at this point. RC Fab, that was a steel manufacturer and installer on this job. They were finishing all the structural steel on this project. Thompson & Sons, they worked over spring break to establish fire lane paths to try to stabilize that site. It was a pretty much a muddy mess coming in and out of there. We have, I'll show you some pictures a little bit further in this presentation, but most, I would say two-thirds of the project is now paved. We've got base, curbs, and sidewalks. HK is the roofing contractor doing this. So areas of A and C over top of the main entranceway, as well as office, is complete driving, 95% completion. And they are to the back portion of the project now, where they're going to be making tie-ins to the building very soon to keep that moving forward and that process and the materials established. Diamond State Masonry. They have finished closing in the mechanical room. You'll see that further on this presentation as well, where it's currently housing all our hot water pumps and good water pumps to heat and cool the space. And we're doing more block work, and we're going to start on brick here very soon. Just got delivered this week. That like I said, Davenport has completed all the air vapor barrier, excuse me, I can't say that for some reason, on the project. As I mentioned, what next with North Smyrna? Exterior brick veneer has been delivered. Probably about a week away from starting that. Start to go up. CMU walls are beginning to be erected around the chillers. Thompson & Sons will be doing some final grade around the building, establishing sidewalks. Now the curbs and paves, base is down and established. Interior framing is going to continue in areas B and CB. That's in the areas that you kind of see that's depicted. That's area B, so that's the main back section where probably two-thirds of the school will be able to not be used to. It's the back fire lane, the basketball court, some things to do in that back pasture area. We received a positive inspection today from the town of Smyrna. That's going to allow us to start putting drywall and insulation in the area and CA to continue moving this project along. MEP rough-in continued. There's a good amount of MC pools, stub outs for cameras, waypoints, everything on the exterior of the building starting to pop through. This project remains on schedule, ahead of schedule by about a month. And we're looking to stay that way with favorable weather and work fairs. Second project, Click Intermediate. Same thing, if you drive past there, you're going to start seeing roof insulation membrane put up there on the large classroom section. So this project as well, it's on schedule, ahead of schedule, moving in the right direction. Area A ductwork is completing a leak test as of 5-2. Wilson Masonry has started brick veneer on areas A. NEC and Wilson, the gym window over break, lock that in, allowing to run conduits in the gym over spring break to expedite some summer plans and keep us ahead of schedule. Badly, roofing has completed area B, which is the locker rooms. That is done in totality with a rooftop unit sitting on there that's been hooked up. They're actually working on area A right now in conjunction with the mason, because going up the rake walls, we do have brick veneer, and making sure everything is flashed correctly and done in the right phases. All the lighting for this project was released on 5-2 as well. And then window and what's next, what's to come. So any seat will be drivable on the 5th. So that's exciting. Wilson Masonry will continue laying brick veneer and water taper features around the building on Area A currently. Fadley is going to begin drying in Area A, which has already happened, but they are coordinating with the Mason as well to keep the faux slate shingle clean. MEP contractors continuing rough-ins, and NEC has started exterior studs on Area C, which is the cafeteria, and then the Area A front radius. The lighting's kind of poor in here, but you can see where they started the studding and establishing where those windows are going to start to stop on both levels. New intermediate school. Real exciting. So the pre-bid for that new school is tomorrow at 10 a.m. So what that meeting is we basically publish it. It's been published for 2 weeks. Vendors far and wide, I would say the tri-state area, have reached out requesting plans. Very, very hopeful we're going to get some favorable bids. That meeting tomorrow, we'll talk about that project is mandatory for any kind of vendor or contractor wanting to bid on the project. So we urge everybody to show up, sign your name, listen to what we have to say from the district side of things, as well as our A&E team, describe the complexity of this job. We do have a geothermal project, so there is a little bit of some maneuvering that needs to happen in the phase of the project. The bid opening will be approximately 30 days after that on 6-5 at 2 p.m. We open those to the public. Bids come in, we are sealed documents, we open them up, and we go through what those bids are. And then I'm working with Mr. Ramuno, the adjoining property owner, to establish a path forward for site work, because our stabilized construction entrance comes off of that main road coming in, so it's a partnership between both parties to get that in and established and working towards the right finish. We are hoping to break ground mid-June. So shortly after that bid opening, we have a board meeting looking for approval, and we'll be running with it mid-June, hopefully. For those of you who have not been here, we've established a relationship with our high school and middle school CTE pathways, where we brought students out to the job sites to evaluate, look at the different phases, look at the different NEPs, talk through some things, answer questions that they have in the classroom or the field. It's really been a rewarding experience. We've done 6 of these visits. We're still hoping to get 1 or 2 more in before students depart for summer. So looking for weather, site conditions, the amount of subs on the site, just trying to make sure everybody's safe because these projects are swiftly moving along. But it's important for the students to be a part of these conversations and projects as well. Change orders on both projects. The ones depicted in the yellow, we did pick up a couple new change orders that were approved. We had some hardware changes on some doors. We added some badgers and some sensitive spots that we didn't pick up on our initial our bid deck. And then the sprinkle riser room kind of runs hand in hand with the water line replacement. We needed to change out some big fittings and some piping sizes increased because the pipe size on the exterior of the building increased. Still well under budget. We still have roughly $500,000 of our initial allowance on this project. Blake Intermediate, we're still doing good. The new change orders to bring home. There's been some talks we're working through. I know RYJ has been in crisis for us, which we're very grateful for. There was a material tariff on some metal, and they work with us and they make that go away, so we're very grateful for that. All right, so I got a couple more slides just showing some pictures, some updates. As I mentioned, the hot water pumps and cold water pumps for the chilled hot water supply lines were delivered. You can see Deadly Obese is the plumber on both of our projects. So we do have some continuity, which is nice. As you can see, fresh, fancy new hot water pumps and chilled water pumps. In that mechanical space to heat and cool the whole building and the new building. York chillers. That's going to cool the new structure plus the existing structure. And the right picture here is me standing at the top of an elevation change. There's a ramp right in front of me, and that's going to be the connection point that they make to the building. And that's going to take place this summer. Just a reminder, we do have an outdoor classroom, so that classroom that gets displaced this summer will have an outdoor classroom space that's actually larger than the space they're currently in. So we've already game planned for that, and we're ready for it. As I mentioned, this is a detail that I specifically asked for. It's a mock-up of the transition from block to brick, going up the rear of the roof structure. It shows the step flashing detail and the termination points. Different layers of exterior sheeting and insulation and ground mat. This allows us to want to stay on a flat surface and go over some things to make sure we don't have leaks going in the future that we're going to have unnecessary repairs. So this is something, like I said, it didn't cost anybody anything, just a little bit of time, and it's going to save everybody a little bit of time because we work through some problems that weren't depicted on plans, put it that way. So this is a little bit of a effort from the mason, the roofer, myself, our A&E team, and the site contractor. And you can kind of see, so I apologize about the lighting. The picture on the left is the back corner of area A of Clayton Intermediate. You can kind of see they're about midway up brick veneer. And then the back stairwell tower, it got closed in last week, and you can kind of see the brick veneer at the bottom, the pressure treated two bars at the top of the rake and eaves, ready for roof material and finishes. And then this whole back stair tower is going to be glass panels, so we can frame the metal from glass panels. Area C took shape really quick, 30 foot. Structural steel studs on the outside of the building. There are almost all the way around the radius now connected to the building. So this is going to be the focal point for the summer. We're making a penetration through the wall. There's two new reefer units that are going to be back here, fridge and freezer. As you can see, the rooftop unit's already set. It's been commissioned, not turned on. Ductwork needs to be hooked up. But it's been tested, works, operational. The roofing material will be insulated, getting ready to receive EPM, and it's going to be dried in and running on this one. And that concludes the next construction presentation. Any questions? Okay.
Mr. Marble, just to summarize the two projects that we have ongoing now that we've broken ground on, they are ahead of schedule and on budget, or?
Yes, they are on budget, under budget currently, and ahead of schedule. No one in Sioux Falls scope, but it looks like a December, January turnover date. If we can get furniture for the building in that time, we'll have ample time to set that building up and make a transition. That's going to be smooth and not rushed.
And the new intermediate school, we are shooting for a June
27 open, roughly 18 months to construct.
And hopefully breaking ground this coming
year. Yeah, mid-June is everybody's goal right now. We're going to be breaking ground regardless of what Ramuno does. That stabilized construction entrance, I've already started working with Delta and trying to figure out an entranceway permit situation. So more to come on that, but that's a low-level concern right now. It's just something that's come up in the last couple of days.
So I don't mean to put you on the spot, but it is construction. We'll put it into that. Can you tell everyone a little bit about the solar project that we're looking at?
Yes, sir. So approximately about a year ago, Energize Delaware put out a blotter to all the school districts. They had some grant money to district to be cognizant of what we spend on utilities, because we are trying to pass a referendum, we are talking about things. So we take every cost-saving measure we can. We get LED credits, we get different credits working with DMAC. So solar energy, we're going that way. We tried to do it last year. This year it's going to come through. So we met with an individual who came out. We talked about some things. I recommended the high school. Let's keep it at the high school. It's our biggest school. It never lives, or it never sleeps. It's always alive. It's our biggest energy consumer in the town of Smyrna. So we've come up with a plan. It's roughly 400 panels, ground mount and roof mount. It's going to generate roughly 310 kilowatts, which is a lot. That's double what our last system was going to produce. And that was going to save us roughly $10,000 a month of energy cost savings at the high school itself. So with rising energy costs, double the kilowatts, we're probably looking somewhere, don't quote me, not a hard number, but somewhere probably in that $25,000 range, which is monumental in my opinion. That's probably about 2 months of electric for the high school. So that's critical. And being able to utilize grant funding and provide different aesthetic features for the high school, like an outdoor pavilion for kids to sit under in the weather, it's a win-win for everybody. So we're really excited about that. Nothing's been signed yet. We're still in that preliminary process of going through that, looking for approval. That'll probably come next board meeting. But that's something to come, and that's going to happen this summer if approved. So we're working in the right direction, and hopefully that grant funding stays, and we can do other projects, other facilities.
Yeah, so just to give everybody a reference, Mr. Marvel was referring to it's like 2 months worth of electric for basically the whole year. So we average like $45,000 to $48,000 a month in electric at the high school.
Yep.
So anything that we can do to try to alleviate some of that is going to be crucial. Now this project, you know, is going to be somewhere in the neighborhood of $800,000 to be able to save that much money. But luckily, since we really don't have as much money, to be able to put around Energize Delaware is actually, if we can get this done, willing to pay 100% of the cost. So it's something that, you know, saves us completely. It's a win-win. So hopefully we can get those finalized soon, and then the goal would be to be able to install those before next year.
Yep. Yeah, the vendor has initially said that he doesn't have a problem with the June to July deadline, and it's going to pay dividends for us quickly. So.
Definitely. Thank you for your work on that.
Yep. Thank you.
Well, real quick, Mr. Marvel, on the change order, the second change order at North Elementary School, you said it was for the difference in the pipe size?
Yeah, the rise are coming out of the ground. So to increase because the size of the pipe increased. The pump that was spec'd was not adequate for 8-inch of service line. It was a 6-inch service line that was spec'd on plans, but upon digging, we discovered it was actually 8. It was not correct on hazards.
Gotcha.
So it needed to bump up, and then that was, unfortunately, when you start getting into large 8-inch yep. steel pipe and big fittings, they're very, very difficult.
Great. Thank you.
Next item in the discussions is the referendum. Our referendum, the referendum in general. Is there any update?
I guess we can go down the line. I guess.
Did you want to go first?
No, go ahead.
Absolutely.
So as we've talked about every month, you know, needing a referendum, and I'll just repeat what I've said in the past, that we have 40 open educator positions in our school. We have a school district that borders us that is paying significantly more for a multitude of different, because teachers are paid based off of numbers of years of service as well as their college degree that they have. So they're paying more pretty much across the board than we are, and we have 40 open positions. And it's simple economics in my mind, supply and demand. We When you look at supply, it's not there. We're not getting the applicants for the teachers that we would like to see. And our demand is getting higher and higher as our district grows. So we have to do something. And when it comes to that, when we're unequal and compared to our peers, and in order to be able to give a significant raise, a raise that would really mean something to our staff, we only pay 30%. The local side's only 30%. So for us to give a meaningful raise, or even get close to, you know, what, even with what we had in the last referendum, it still wouldn't get to what of our neighboring districts were offering, but it was still substantial. We would have to go out to a referendum. We're talking about, you know, millions of dollars just to give our teachers and our staff a decent raise. To try to keep up with inflation would be, you know, it's millions of dollars on our side, and to cut that from our budget, which our local side of funding that we get from property taxes is only $11 million. So to cut close to 30% of it to be able to give that raise that we would need, it just doesn't make sense. While we still have looked at the budget significantly, and we have made several cuts, significant cuts across the budget where we can and where it's feasible, we don't want to sacrifice for the students. And that's what we've tried to alleviate, is to stay away from any cuts that would face the students.
Just echoing what you said, you know, I agree. I think it's our role here is to do what's, you know, best for the community, best for the students, best for the staff. And while it's not always easy, I do think that this board has done a good job of prioritizing, not making it student-facing, right? And, you know, the funding system is what the funding system is. It's not a funding system that we designed. It's not a funding system that, you know, we have any say over. The one thing that caveat I will add is that the governor has been banging the drum about, you know, our antiquated funding model really hard here recently. So I'm curious to see, A, if they hit the before July 1st deadline on getting that out, and B, what it looks like could have an impact on what or when or if a referendum would occur. So I'm really curious to see how that, if and how that shakes out. And how it could affect our plans moving forward.
Well, I'll say that, you know, this is the time of year where we're doing rehires of temporary to permanent employees, and the other districts are as well. And they're opening up positions that are anticipated, as we did, that I mentioned earlier, 9 elementary education teachers that have agreed to come and work with us. But we've had a few already of our teachers state that the reason that they are resigning and moving to a different district is due to pay.
One other thing, while Mr. Stoops likes to say, you know, the 40-year-old positions, that is not a dig at our HR department at all. We do appreciate the vast array of ways you are trying to find us qualified, certified staff. And, you know, so thank you for that. And thank you for getting us 9. And, you know, and Ashley and you guys getting us into Bloomington U that will provide us, you know, 10 more in the future. So, you know, thank you for the effort. Thank you for the work you guys are doing at the state level.
Secondary and elementary.
Yeah. So to add on to that, and absolutely, I agree with Mr. Snow there. Not a dig at you in any way. But as a board, we've tried to make it so that it's not student-facing in any way, right? We've tried to stop any cuts from being there. But what we all need to realize is those 40 open positions are student-facing. Mm-hmm. So our kids are being taught, and nothing against them in any way, of long-term subs, or even in some cases short-term subs, or things like that, that are not certified teachers. And it's nothing against them. It's not their fault in any way. We appreciate them coming in to be in the classroom and do their best. But we all want to educate the next generation the best we possibly can. I think we can all agree that we want that next generation to be better than we are, be smarter than we are, and do better than we are, because frankly, they're going to have to pay my Social Security, hopefully, and things like that. So we want them to be better. We want our country to be better. And in order to do that, we need to have certified and qualified teachers in the classroom. And when we pay less than districts that have passed the referendum, or neighboring states that aren't that far away that we border to as a district, I don't blame educators for going to those, but I think we all need to make sure that we realize, and that's why I harp on the 40 open positions, is those are open positions that's not helping our kids' education in any way. We really need to work on filling those as the best we can, and we want to make Smyrna the district that every teacher wants to go to so that we can hire the best educators in every position possible. If we can make this district the envy of all districts, everybody's going to want to come here, and then we will have the best in every classroom teaching the community's kids and making sure that our community thrives for the future. So that's what this is all about.
Anyone else? Okay, thank you very much. The next item for discussion is the board member, Board of Education new member packet, which I believe we each received in an email this week.
So I've been working with Denise in HR to create a new board member onboarding packet, because this year we definitely had a new board member joining the board. And from experience, I just felt like the process needed a little more cleaning up, making some improvements. We've been working together to make a whole packet if somebody has things like a directory, building information on an email, just something to kind of simplify and make it a seamless transition. It's a lot of learning to join the position. So I just kind of wanted to have everything all in one place that they always have another resource to give back to. So just a simple resource that they can keep in their hands and make that transition to be well. This is a personal one with open arms.
I especially love the acronyms page.
Yes. Yes, that was one of my big things, because coming from a non-education background, like when my family teaches, I didn't teach, this industry uses acronyms.
Yes.
Like whole sentences of just acronyms. Sometimes I have to go home and write it down and I'm looking them up. I'm like, we need to have a whole directory of just acronyms and what they mean and where they go to.
Thank you for taking on this project. When I got on, I got a 3-ring binder to Mrs. Mallett. The next person will not be getting a Mrs. Mallett. So, I know it wasn't an easy endeavor to just even consolidate all of that into one place. So thank you for taking that initiative. And whoever joins us next will be better prepared than any of us were on that front, coming in. So thank you very much.
Okay, anything else? No, all right, we will move on to personnel.
Madam President, I move to approve item 12.1 through 12.11, excluding number 352 from 12.7.
Second.
Excuse
me,
352 from 12.7.
Yep.
Okay. With a motion by Mr. Skuse, a second by Mr. Snow to approve items 12.1 through 12.11, excluding number 352 from 12.7. Any questions or comments? Hearing none, how do you vote, Mr. Skuse?
Abstain.
Mr. Snow?
Aye.
Dr. Wilson?
Aye.
Ms. Weber?
Aye.
Chair votes aye. Motion carries. 4-0 with one abstention. All
Madam President, I move to accept item 12.7, number 352.
Motion by Mr. Snow, second by Ms. Weber to approve number 352 from item 12.7 as submitted. Any questions or comments? Hearing none, how do you vote, Mr. Skuse?
Abstain.
Mr. Snow?
Aye.
Dr. Wilson?
Aye.
Ms. Weber?
Aye.
Chair votes aye. Motion carries 4 ayes and 1 abstention.
Madam President, I move that we go into executive session.
Motion by Mr. Snow, second by Mr. Skuse to go into executive session. Any questions or comments? Hearing none. Mr. Skuse, how do you vote?
Aye.
Mr. Snow?
Aye.
Dr. Wilson?
Aye.
Ms. Weber?
Aye.
Chair votes aye. When we return from executive session, we will not have any voting items to conclude this evening.
Kyle,
thank you
this
very much.
Book does.
All right, recording. I was down there.
Can we get an I declare?
No. You want me to just declare?
Sure.
I declare the meeting's over.
All right, done.